The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thursday. That makes it Friday Eve up in here. My little buddy Dominic will be joining at 4 o'clock. You know, he's the one that likes to look forward to the weekend on Thursday. Not that we all don't, but you know what I'm saying. But Dom joins at 4, and so does my congressman, Mark Pocan, 4 o'clock Central. Pocan. I know how to say it. And we'll pose the question. Should the Democrats save MAGA Mike Johnson? Should you, Mark? We'll ask that question, my congressman. I was actually out in D.C. visiting, interviewing Mark Pocan the day MAGA Mike got elected. Seemed so recently, quite frankly. And early voting efforts. If you're unaware, we've got a spring primary here in the great state of Wisconsin. I know a lot of our friends are taking advantage of the early absentee voting that we have here in this great state. But if you haven't voted yet, you're probably a Republican. No, the Republicans, they've got this new effort underfoot. Get out the vote. It's statewide. It's nationwide, baby. And it's completely contrary to what Donald Trump would have you do. So a lot of Republicans have tepidly been putting out these videos at the bequest of, what, the new RNC, question mark? Early absentee voting in the state of Wisconsin. We'll get there. But I got to tell you, I am encouraged by the news. You know, if at first you don't succeed, you try again. And we had talked about this effort to recall Robin Voss. Well, today is going to be the recall Robin Voss 2.0 edition. They're trying again. Oh, by the way, did I mention, Rich, lightly screening your calls right in there at 844-967-2789. The airwaves and the phone lines, they're always free for you. Voss, the recall Voss organizer, has launched a second effort after the first one fails. Got to admire his persistence. Molly Beck at the Journal Sentinel reporting an organizer of a recall effort against Wisconsin's Assembly Speaker has launched a second recall effort now that the first one is on pace to fail without enough signatures in allegations of, widespread fraud. Matthew Skronik of Burlington filed paperwork with the Wisconsin Elections Commission Wednesday indicating his intention to circulate a new recall petition against Robin Voss of Rochester. Now, the new effort comes at a time when Snorek's first recall effort is under investigation by the Racine County District Attorney. Man, I must be struggling with names today. Over allegations of fraudulent signatures committed by petition circulators, some of whom are felons, according to a review conducted by Voss. You know, scoping it out, making sure everything's on the up and up. And apparently, a lot of the people that gathered the recall signatures were felons. And apparently, that's a bad thing. Especially according to Robin Voss. The new recall petitions are due by May 28th, according to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And supporters of the presumptive GOP presidential nominee, Donald Trump, are seeking to oust Voss. Why wouldn't they? Over his criticism of Trump. How dare he? and his unwillingness to break the law and undo the 2020 Wisconsin presidential election. As if theoretically he could break the law and do so. You know, that might be Trump's intent, but never had a mechanism. At least not through Robin Voss. Now, recall organizers in March submitted to the WEC, Wisconsin Elections Commission, more than 10,000 signatures, nearly 4,000 more than required. But Elections Commission staff determined the recall organizers did not obtain enough signatures from residents in the actual district Voss was elected when the recall began, falling about 945 signatures short. It's a lot of work for nothing. More here. The recall committee has acknowledged the signatures the group submitted included forgeries. But blame the crime on sabotage and unidentified participants recruiting individuals from outside Wisconsin. Now, Voss and Snorek didn't immediately respond to requests for interviews about the new recall effort. I think he called them morons and criminals the last time. I know what Voss is going to say. Snorek formed a new recall committee for the effort, according to the commission. And the move comes as his first recall committee is asking a Dane County judge to extend the deadline for the group to respond to challenges made by Voss to the group's first set of petition signatures. And Voss, in his challenge, alleged thousands were from people who didn't live in the correct district. He also argued the petitions included forged signatures and were circulated by felons in some cases, which is against Wisconsin state law. Details. Racine County District Attorney Patricia Hansen, as of earlier this month, was investigating nearly 30 complaints from area residents who said their signatures were forged by recall organizers. I didn't know you couldn't do that. I pretty much suspect they did know. Now, last time through, recall, Robin, last time through, I was pretty in for it. You know, why not? Someone else is doing all the work. It's red on red violence. And, you know, ultimately, if they're successful, it's going to, you know, basically put a bad light on the assembly speaker. Nothing wrong with this effort, in my opinion. But, you know, they've now gotten to the point where they've embarrassed themselves and they sort of make the speaker a little bit stronger, I think, through their efforts. A little bit more coverage. This from Wisconsin Public Radio. The recall organizers have asked a Dane County judge for more time. We mentioned that, right? Well, this Dateline Public Radio, March 27th. Conservative activists trying to recall Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss have filed a lawsuit aimed at buying more time to respond to the claims that they fell short the last time, right? The 945 short. Now, Voss of Rochester has filed a challenge to the petitions, saying recall organizers had not collected the required number. We told you that. Organizers want the deadlines for their response to be extended until after. And this seems like a valid ask. And I'm just telling you, these might be grifters and morons or whatever it is Robin Voss called them. But this part of the ask seems legitimate. Organizers want the deadline for their response to be extended until after the Wisconsin Supreme Court decides which voting maps apply to the potential recall and special elections. Well, they had a quandary, right? Robin Voss has got the old 63rd, the one he was elected into, and then there's the new 63rd. And apparently a lot of people don't know which one they live in down there in the Pleasant Prairie, Pleasant Prairie area. Now, an attorney representing the recall Voss organizers filed a petition in Dane County Court Monday asking for an extension of time to rebut Voss's challenge. And the recall Voss campaign had until Monday at 5 p.m. to file their response with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The petition filed by attorney Kevin Scott is asking Dane County Circuit Judge Rhonda Lanford to extend the deadline until 5 days after the Wisconsin Supreme Court clarifies which legislative maps should be in effect for the potential recall. And when the court's liberal majority declared Republican-drawn maps unconstitutional in December, It blocked the Elections Commission from using them in any future elections. In February, the GOP-controlled state legislature passed MAPS. We all recall this. Robin Voss and company. It's amazing how they can get stuff done when, you know, their best interests are in mind. But they passed MAPS drawn by Democratic Governor Tony Evers, who then signed them into law. But there was and still is a catch. The bill creating the new MAPS specifies they won't go into effect until November's general election. So attorney Bryna Goeder of the University of Wisconsin Law School's State Democracy Research Initiative said that, in effect, we kind of don't have MAPS right now, and that can be used by the Elections Commission. And Voss's attorneys claim that all means the recall effort against him must be rejected because recall organizers circulated recall papers listing the 63rd Assembly District he was elected to in 2022. Did you get all that? So Voss was elected in the old 63rd. And despite the fact that, you know, after a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling, Voss charged his troops, his loyal caucus, forward with quote-unquote fair maps, right? The fair maps, the Tony Evers maps. Now, there might have been some fair maps out there, and yours truly might have cautioned Tony not to sign those maps because I am concerned about a predicament created by, let's say, the recall Robin Voss effort. The court now has to rule on what are the credible maps. Which maps must Voss be recalled under? And this guy's gone and filed a second recall effort, right? Well, what happens? I mean, theoretically, the Wisconsin Supreme Court's got to give direction. A, there's an outstanding lawsuit from the recall Voss 1.0. And now we got the second recall Voss 2.0. So they're going to have to give a determination. And my greatest fear, although, you know, let's see if this guy collects enough valid signatures, but it is a fair ask. Which map should be represented when we go to collect? The new district, the old district? I just don't want to see this thing in the federal courts. There is a case in South Carolina. South Carolina going forward with maps that have been ruled unconstitutional. Sound familiar? How are they getting away with it? Well, you know, ran out of time. Primary coming up in June. Got to get these ballots to the printer. So South Carolina moving forward with unconstitutional maps. I just don't want to hear echoes of that in Wisconsin. More devil's advocates. It's a Thursday. Recall Robin Voss 2.0. We'll see.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. When the time turns 4 o'clock, my buddy Dominic joins, as will my congressman and our friend, Mark Bocan, joining at 4, so you're going to want to stick around for that. Got a primary election coming up. Time's getting short. April 2nd, that's next Tuesday. How do we know it's important? Well, we just had Joe Biden in the state of Wisconsin. We now know that Donald Trump is coming to Wisconsin on Tuesday, going to give a speech probably right in the middle of the greatest radio show ever. I have told Dom we're probably going to have to do some sort of mystery science theater. Play this sound. I'll admit, we're considering playing the sound, but if we do, we're going to fact check it. We're going to crap on it. We're going to be disrespectful in real time. I promise you, we will give it all the respect it's due, which is none. So consider that when you make your listing decisions on Tuesday. And obviously, going to want to stick around. But, Rich, I'm going to need your help here. As I mentioned, the Republicans have taken a new tact. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but anyways, my memory sometimes like Dom's. But I got a little missive. I saw this little video. I think it was from Ron Johnson. I saw it yesterday. And Ron had taken sort of a differing attitude, at least a differing attitude, from the Cheeto Messiah guy. because Trump said, you know, basically mail-in ballots equal fraud. Fraud! Had discouraged his followers from ever taking that path. But yet yesterday, I saw widely disseminated on the Twitter by the very Wisconsin Republican Party. And Ron saying, well, since I've been a U.S. Senator, you know, I'm a busy guy. I've been doing the absentee ballots all the time. That's all I do. And you should, too. You should consider banking that ballot, getting out there, voting early. Well, Rich, as I was, you know, out there looking today on the Twitterverse, I found another similar missive, in this one from a congressman from Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District, talking about Brian Stile. And Brian Stile had brought a little sidekick. And Brian was encouraging the people, much like Ron Johnson did yesterday, Brian Stile was encouraging the people to vote for this very confusing, or these two very confusing, Wisconsin constitutional referendums, which don't do much except confuse the voting process and give Republicans more excuse to say, what, get out and vote. Yes, they do want to turn out theirs, but B, to throw mud in the eye of the electorate. So, you know, if they need to say, well, it was Zuckerbucks. It was Mark Zuckerberg. He privately funded some voter ballot initiative, and that's illegal in the state of Wisconsin, constitutionally banned. Well, anyways, Brian Stile and his buddy, Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan, a UW-Madison grad. I don't know if you know that. He was an All-American wrestler here. It's the last time I liked the guy. But let's play it for the people. Here's Brian Stile first, encouraging you fine people to vote. Play it for the people, Rich.
Wisconsin voters have an important opportunity in the upcoming spring election. On April 2nd, we have an opportunity in Wisconsin to keep dark money out of our elections. In addition to our local races, we have a constitutional amendment, questions 1 and 2, on our ballot. I'm encouraging you to vote yes. By voting yes on these two amendments, we can prevent Zuckerbucks and out-of-state dark money from influencing our elections. In Wisconsin, we've seen firsthand how Zuckerbucks sows distrust in our elections. 2022, Racine election administrators used Zuckerbucks to buy a mobile voting van, which they drove around to collect ballots in Democratic-leaning areas. Later, a judge ruled this practice was illegal. Elections are partisan, but election administration should never be partisan. And I'm glad to be joined by my colleague Jim Jordan today in encouraging everyone in Wisconsin to make a plan and vote in April 2nd's spring election.
I would never be glad to announce that I was about to be joined anywhere, anytime, any reason by Jim Jordan. Maybe some, you know, alumni wrestling thing. But otherwise, no way am I going to say, can't wait to introduce my guy Jim Jordan here. The guy that defied congressional subpoenas. The guy that probably is in eyeballs deep in the conspiracy of the January 6th. He is the leading, defender of all things MAGA. I mean, he's out there trying to impeach the current president. And now, Brian Stiles, congressman from the 1st CD, that's the Racine-Kenosha area, that's why he's referencing that, I suspect, brought his boy, Jim Jordan. Let's play the Jim.
Secure elections require proper election administration. That's why I'm encouraging everyone in Wisconsin to vote yes on constitutional amendments 1 and 2. In recent years, we've had millions of dollars in private money flow unchecked to state and local government election officials. By voting yes on both amendments this April, we can end this practice in Wisconsin.
So far I've heard vote yes from Brian Stile, Jim Jordan, and Ron Johnson. If they're for it, I'm against it. I'm just saying. One more. Brian Stile, put a bow on it for the people, Rich. Brian Stile, again.
April. In Congress, I have a solution to ban money from our election administration. I introduced the American Confidence in Elections Act, which bans private donations made directly to local election offices. But we have an opportunity in Wisconsin to ban money in our elections when we head to the voting booths on April 2nd. Our state legislator in Wisconsin passed bills banning this dark money from our elections twice, but Governor Tony Evers vetoed those bills both times. On April 2nd, it's our chance to show Governor Tony Evers he was wrong and deliver a big win for election integrity. So this April 2nd, join me at the polls in voting yes on questions 1 and 2.
Vote yes on the referendums. I guess I misinformed you. There was no advocacy for early voting. Ron did. Ron said you should. But Style didn't mention it. Just the, you know, the confusing referendums, the constitutional referendums. And again, if Brian Style, Ron Johnson, and Jim Jordan think you should, I don't think you should. I think you shouldn't. 844-967-2789. You can always join us. I think you should. You should call us. Rich will lightly screen your calls. Got a fine congressman, my congressman, coming up at 4 o'clock when Dom joins the big show today. Tomorrow on the big show, right about this time, 24 hours from now, we've got our friend Pete Schwabba. He is the host of the Nightlight. Kind of lighten it up for a Friday afternoon. Good Friday. It's the goodest of Fridays tomorrow. And Pete Schwabba is going to join and tell you what you can watch this Easter weekend for your viewing pleasure. We'll discuss. I've been watching Shogun and some other fine, you know, fare on the streaming services. So I'll tell you what my habits have been. And also, tomorrow should have opening day for the Brewers. It's supposed to be today. Some of you tuned in to your local stations. You got the Devil's Advocates. And you said, where's my Brewers game? Well, they're playing the Mets. And apparently a little bad weather. So there is no Brewers game today. The Brewers will play their season opener against the Mets tomorrow about 12:50 a.m. So that's the time. That's a central time start. First pitch. And it will play out across the Civic Media Network. I don't know if you know this, but we got lots of Brewers out there when the Devils aren't playing. The Brewers sometimes are. Tomorrow at 12:50, Brewers on WISS. That's 1100 a.m. WRCE, that's News from the Center. That's Richland Center, Wisconsin. I'm proudest, perhaps, of WRJN. This was a station that had the old Braves. Now we got the Brewers coverage there. That's 1400 AM, 99.9 FM. The Big Q up in the Northwoods. They're going to have the Brewers. And who else? I think that's it. Come back. More Devils. Not Brewers. Not today.
Think you know politics? Again, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Thursday. Dom and Mark Pocan joining at 4 o'clock. Hope you stick around for them. That's the good stuff. But I've got some good information for you in the meantime, and I'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. The phone lines, they're working. The text line, I see you out there, Jeff from Shorewood, trash talking on the text. I know you're there. There was a PolitiFact that was done here in the state of Wisconsin, the statement of Sarah Godlewski. I believe when, I don't know if it was when Joe Biden was in town, but recently she appeared at a campaign event, and she said, here in the state of Wisconsin in 2020, the presidential election came down to like 3 votes per voting ward in the state of Wisconsin. And that seems like, you know, trying to boil it down to the smallest possible number. Because if it comes down to like 3 votes per voting ward, that really makes you think, well, maybe my vote really does matter. My vote does matter. Well, PolitiFact, they had a look at this statement by Sarah Godlewski, the Secretary of State, and true. 7,000 voting boards, the presidential election, about 21,000 votes, the margin of victory. Joe Biden beat Donald Trump, although I know there are a few amongst you listening that still deny that fact. But that's about 3 votes per ward. It's very, very, very close here in a swing state like the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, it's sort of been disadvantageous that the Republicans follow the example of their Cheeto Messiah, their big boss, hating on the early voting, the absentee voting, calling it fraud and saying it's rigging of the election. Now, there's never been real evidence to show that. You know, if you ask what the evidence is, well, you know, everybody knows it's rigged. Yeah, okay, I don't believe that. But now this Republican Party, they're scrambling. They're scrambling to organize early and mail voting despite Trump's attacks. Nothing like working against the boss, right? Now, Josh Dawsey over at the Washington Post has some coverage on this. This pretty pertinent to Wisconsin, though. In December, Donald Trump called for an end to mail-in voting in presidential elections. In February, he told Michigan voters that mail-in voting is totally corrupt. He later told Fox News host Laura Ingraham that if you have mail-in balloting, you automatically have fraud. The ballots are a disaster, he said earlier this month to British TV host Nigel Farage, without offering evidence and despite having voted by mail himself in recent elections. Anytime the mail is involved, you're going to have cheating. Too bad people don't say it. They don't want to say it. Now, the message, Trump's message, is complicating plans by officials at Trump's campaign and the Republican National Committee to orchestrate aggressive efforts in key battleground states, think Wisconsin, to persuade voters to cast their ballots early and by mail. Party officials say the efforts are crucial to win the election. Crucial! I keep fighting it. In an interview, the brand new, shiny new RNC chairman, Michael Whatley, said the party would spend considerable money, didn't say how much, to encourage voters to vote by mail and help collect ballots, a practice known as ballot harvesting, and that's legal in some states, but Trump, of course, has decried it. We've got to get every one of our voters to vote, no matter the method, Whatley said. We want people to use the mail-in voting where it's legal. We want people to ballot harvest where it's legal. We want to comply with the laws in every state. Well, that's a new tact. Now, Trump advisors say their get-out-the-vote effort will include persuading people to vote by mail if they believe it is a method the person is likely to use based on their voting history, including making sure ballots are mailed to people who request them. Would ya? Now, Whatley said he believed more than 50% of American voters would cast their ballots before Election Day. A record 69% of Americans voted by mail or voted early in 2020. 69%? That's a big majority. That's a super majority of Americans voting early, according to the Census Bureau. Though some of that was probably driven by the coronavirus pandemic, well, I suspect, but also the convenience. A lot of people like convenient voting. What do you know? You make it convenient, more people vote. That's what the Republicans don't like. We will be taking those voters before they go vote, he said, talking to them, not taking them, presumably not in a Liam Neeson sort of way. Now, faith in voting systems has become polarized along partisan lines, thanks in no small part to Trump's vilification of the system and his refusal to accept that Joe Biden won the 2020. Did he? Some people say he did, but I don't believe it. An Associated Press Center for Public Affairs research poll last year found that only 22% of Republicans had high confidence that the votes in the 2024 presidential election would be counted accurately. One in five think they will be counted accurately. These are your Republican friends. No wonder they don't trust any. They're already looking at the rigging. Compared with 71% of Democrats that have high confidence in the vote counting, and roughly 6 in 10 Republicans opposed allowing people to vote by mail without an excuse. Only 13% of Democrats oppose that. Now, Republican officials privately say that whether Republican voters adapt to early in-person and mail voting could swing the 2024 election. I wouldn't do it, Republicans. It's rigging. But those efforts remain in tension with the fraud claims that animate Trump and the grassroots MAGA movement. Essentially, they're trying to persuade Trump voters to participate in voting methods that he falsely says are responsible for rampant fraud and cost him the White House 4 years ago. Here's a statement, this one from John Seaton, an Arizona Republican strategist. We hear it at the doors. Some Republicans are still very reluctant now to drop their ballots in the mail. President Trump clearly has a great deal of influence with Republican voters, so his support of mail-in voting will have a real impact on how many Republicans ultimately return their ballots by mail. I point out to you, recently as February when we were in Michigan, he's telling the people, don't trust the mail. Don't mail in your ballots. Now, in response to detailed questions for this article, a Trump spokesperson pointed at a video. You know, look at my video. That the Trump taped for the RNC last year, praising early voting. You know, that text I said, go peacefully. So that discounts all the other times I contradicted. Do you think your own supporters believe you just because you dropped the video one time? Now, Republican strategists have privately warned Trump's campaign that there are a number of states where having an aggressive early voting and mail-in voting effort is imperative, including Georgia and Arizona. Georgia doesn't have partisan voter registration, but more than 1.7 million people voted early in person, and about 191,000 voted by mail out of 3.5 million ballots cast in 2022. That was the Senate runoff. Early voting was concentrated in, guess what? Democrat-rich metro Atlanta counties such as Fulton, DeKalb, Cobb, etc. Cody Hall, a GOP strategist, who is a senior advisor to Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, said Trump's rhetoric against mail-in ballots hurt him in the state in 2020. And it's totally possible it cost him the last election. Hall said he also hadn't seen signs yet of a dedicated GOP campaign to encourage early voting in Georgia this year. The messaging is one thing, but the resources are just as, if not more important. You have to actually do it. I've been screaming it from the mountaintop. You got to have money to execute this. What about Arizona? Well, let's remind people. In 2022, in Arizona's Maricopa County, home to Phoenix and more than half of the state's voters, Republicans trailed early ballot returns from 4 years earlier, according to analysis by The Post. Republicans submitted 330,000 ballots, a return rate of 49%. That was down from 63% in 2018. In Nevada, Democrats returned about 105,000 ballots out of 605,000 mailed, compared to 85,000 out of 540,000 for Republicans. Again, that created a margin of about 20,000 additional Democratic votes. And what about Pennsylvania? Listen to these numbers. Republicans in 2022, Pennsylvania, the state, requested just under 300,000 mail-in ballots. They returned 263,000. Democrats returned 857,000 early votes. I mean, that's a margin of just short of 600,000 votes that the Democrats had already banked before Election Day compared to the Republican Party. As David Urban, a Trump ally, said, it'll be a huge factor in Pennsylvania. If we're not playing, we do so at our own peril. Yeah, perhaps. Urban and Republican groups in the state are already spending to boost mail-in voting, partially due to Trump's loss in the state, what happened in 2022, when Fetterman, you know, Democrat John Fetterman, Pennsylvania, secured more than 1 million votes before the first debate. They're doing that even as some lawmakers in Pennsylvania are trying to curb early voting options. At the Republicans. A person close to Trump said, the hope is that Trump will largely leave the topic alone publicly and not sabotage the efforts. I suspect he will sabotage his own campaign, the RNC, etc. He can't help it. Now, campaign and RNC officials are citing comments he made at times, encouraging Republicans to vote by mail as long as it's legal, saying the other side does it. He's never going to embrace voting by mail for the whole country, according to this person. Well, of course, he's never going to see the logic, even when it would be beneficial to Trump. Another advisor said that the conversation about mail-in voting, Trump says it is fraudulent and that he is suspicious of the postal workers, of anyone who could touch the ballot. Why, because of germs? Now, Trump advisor Susie Wiles has repeatedly told him that people vote by mail safely in Florida and that he won overwhelmingly, while also reminding him that he even voted by mail. Doesn't matter. In 2020, she was able to persuade Trump to tweet that voters in Florida should use mail because the state was safe. And Wiles has argued that the campaign should spend money and time promoting mail-in voting. people who have heard her argument say, I think we can get him there, the person close to Trump. You're not going to persuade Trump. You're not going to make him smarter, better, or more presidential, ultimately. And in no small part, that's probably why Rhonda McDaniel is out at the RNC. She said before she left, if Republicans succeed in getting Republicans to vote early and ballot harvests were legal, Donald Trump will win in November. It really is that simple. Yeah, but you can't get around the Donald Trump part. 844-967-2789. Don't want to run out of time for you, Hoosier Bob. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, how are you?
Excellent, sir.
Yeah, you just stole my thunder. I was going to say, I remember Trump standing at Mar-a-Lago bragging about how he mailed in his ballot. So it had to be in 20.
But he, maybe, you know, maybe he did. He accepted. He broke his own rule. But if he's telling the Trump faithful out there in the world, Hoosier Bob, don't you dare. It's fraudulent. That's how all the fraud happens. They're not going to mail in early. It's going to be like Pennsylvania. Oh. There are going to be massive gaps.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I just was pointing out, again, his hypocrisy. You know, don't do as I do as I say.
Well, we all got a case of that occasionally. Hoosier Bob, at least I do.
Well, not me.
nor Dom. He's always very consistent. Hoosier Bob, appreciate your call. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We got Dom and Mark Pocan joining very, very soon at 4. You could join next. Phone lines, they're open. They're toll-free right now. Dial 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Tomorrow would be Friday. Today is Thursday, I'm pretty sure. Been checking. Yeah, it's Thursday. Damn it. Coming up next week, Tuesday is a jam-packed day. A, it's spring election day here in the state of Wisconsin. And there are a couple of constitutional referendums, and it's going to look like legal gobbledygook, and I just encourage you to vote no, because if Rojo's for it and Brian Stiles for it and Jim Jordan, they're bringing in Jim Jordan to the state of Wisconsin to encourage you to vote for this, that should tell you all you need to know. It's a bad idea. It's another voter suppression effort. And also, you know, never take outside money. Well, you know, Republicans often control the purse strings here in the state of Wisconsin, because the gerrymander we've been under for a decade or more means Republicans have had the ability to fund or not properly fund the elections. So this other Zuckerbucks, they're allowing outside partisan money into our elections. Ah, man, don't believe the hype. Just vote no. That would be my encouragement. But what if you got opening day tickets? Like my pal Rich in there, sitting there doing his job. But he's not going to next Tuesday. He's going to the ball game. I mean, this is some poor planning. Opening day in the great state of Wisconsin. And the Brewers will play tomorrow. I think we mentioned that. 12:50 start, playing out across Civic Media on WYSS, WRCE, the big Q up north, and WRJN. But Tuesday, the home opener. It's not Miller Park anymore. It's not County Stadium. It's American Family Field. And there'll be 40,000 plus Brewer fans plus lots more that don't even make it to the game. There are people, I got a buddy who texted me today. He's gone to some opening days and just like passed out in the back of a pickup truck bed or something. Boother. You know I mean you, Boother. But what are you going to do? And Rich, I'm going to give you a second to get prepared here. Here's the question. If you're going to opening day, you ain't voting in person, are you, Rich?
Actually, I'll be voting early in the morning, and then I'll be heading
so
down.
So you say.
Yeah, no.
But what happens if the alarm clock goes off a little bit late?
No, I'm responsible that way, and, the polling place is less than a mile from where I live, so not an issue.
Okay, what time's first pitch? What time's the Brewers game?
I think 3:10.
Oh, you got time.
Yeah, plenty of time.
But that's going to screw with this game, this show. That game's going to screw with this show. It's going to interfere with the greatest radio show ever. Well, you're going to have a tough decision, you and many in the audience. Brewers or Crudy and Dom?
Well, I'll have the app on my phone, and I'll be monitoring while I'm watching the game and maybe having a beer or two.
Bob Uecker will, at 90, and my entire life, as long as there has been a Brewer organization, I believe he's been the voice. And he's part of the institution. He's part of the charm of the Milwaukee Brewers. And, you know, at 90, he's not traveling so well. And he's doing opening day, but no commitments after that.
I saw that.
What's that mean? Baseball is not the same without Uecker.
That's very true. Actually, I think Merle Harmon was the first play-by-play guy for the Brewers, and then Uecker was paired with him. And when Merle Harmon left, that's when Bob slid in.
Hmm. I did not know that. Was that like Seattle Pilot days? Early?
No, it was Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
The very, very early 70s.
Well, I was a younger man then.
Well, and I was older than you. And still am for now.
Sadly, Rich, I was not alive for the Beatles.
Well.
That sort of sets a time frame.
Mm-hmm. I saw them on Ed Sullivan.
I've seen them on videos of playing on Ed Sullivan. Yeah. So, Rich, you're going to do your duty. You're going to vote that day.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, are you a believer in the early voting?
Yes, very much so.
Have you ever early voted?
I honestly don't think I ever have, because I always have lived close to a polling place.
I early voted once. I was convinced by the Democratic Party. I happened to vote on the Democratic side that year. That was the year Mary Burke ran for governor against Scott Walker.
All right.
And I voted early. And me personally, and I'm not speaking for the audience. I'm only talking about Crudy because I'm a political junkie. This is my blood sport. But I was so disappointed on election day. Like, nothing to do. Like, what am I supposed to do now? I mean, I used to go down to the polling places. I assess how many people are standing in line. Yeah, I'd start up a conversation, not electioneering per se. But, you know, I'd always get to meet some of my neighbors, some of the people in the line, and I always liked that. And I decided, I believe that was 2014, about a decade ago, I will forevermore vote in person. And I have not broken that. I have not accepted that rule. Although there was, maybe it was like a February spring primary. I'll admit, I did miss one because I showed up at like 7:58 and I was in the wrong spot.
Mm.
So shame on me, but that would never happen on, you know, the big election day. I get up early. I'm excited. You know, it's like my opening day, election day for you. Meh. Well,
it's important to me. Absolutely.
Well, at least you're doing both. So you're doing a doubleheader that day. Vote and then a ball game. At least a couple beers.
Well, you're doing a doubleheader. You're voting.
I'm voting.
And you're going to be, well, here or wherever.
I'll be here. Considered going up and, you know, doing the Trump rally. Not worth the headache, the standing in line, the dealing with the MAGA crowds. That's certainly not a worthwhile endeavor. I wonder, on opening day, and maybe Green Bay doesn't have the same sort of affinity for Brewers opening day that Milwaukee certainly does. I mean, it's like they let the kids off school, basically.
Well, it's a high holy day in Milwaukee.
You can play hooky from work, as you intend to do next Tuesday. I mean, it's just an expectation on employers. A guy wants off. It's opening day. What are you going to do? Gets it off. Yeah, but he's a heart surgeon. Too bad. Somebody's not getting the heart today. But in Green Bay, do you think this will diminish the turnout for the Trump rally? I mean, I had said he's going to the Rush Center. Guess what? He ain't going to the Rush Center.
He's going to like the
Hyatt Hotel downtown Green Bay. He's supposed to be right down the block from the guy I'm going to have on the show tomorrow night, Pete Schwabba. Pete will be in the studios in Green Bay, I believe on Washington Street, right on the back of the river. We're right on the city deck there. That's where the WGBW location is. And Trump, I believe, will be just up the road. So we'll call in Pete on Friday night, man, or on Tuesday night. How's it going, Pete? How are the crowds for Trump? Because some will have to vote, you know, presumably show up and vote for Trump. And some are going to want to watch the baseball. And no one that would show up for a Trump rally, but some are going to be so engrossed by the greatest radio show ever. They'll get lost. They lose track of time. They'll be in their driveway still listening. They'll never make it to the Trump rally. We are the Devil's Advocates. Dom, my little buddy. Mark Pocan, my congressman, our friend. They're both joining. Next, you're going to want to stick around. We're going to have some fun today. Thursday, the Friday Eve edition. Early vote if you must. Me, I'm going to do it on opening day.